Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic. Hi there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. Today is a really cool episode because I'm going to be sharing with you how I got diagnosed with autism and ADHD, because a lot of people have been asking, a lot of people are very curious what that process looked like for me, and so, yeah, today I'm just going to walk you through exactly what I did and what that process was like for me, with, you know, the caveat being every assessor is different, every place that you might go is going to be different, and this may not be your exact experience, but this was mine, and I hope it helps. Okay, first, a little bit of background. If you don't know, I am professionally diagnosed with autism and ADHD as of a couple of weeks ago, but before that, I was self-diagnosed autistic and suspected ADHD. And I kind of want to talk about the difference between those two things, because it can be a little murky. So I was self-diagnosed autistic because I had done a profound amount of research on autism and had done a lot of self-reflection on my own brain as well. And I was very confident that I meet the criteria and I was an autistic woman. So I self-diagnosed using the knowledge that I had and trusting myself to know my own brain. Self-diagnosis is completely valid. I will go ahead and link the other a podcast episode I have all about self-diagnosis and why it's so valid. If you're listening and you're like, what the heck? I thought only doctors could diagnose this. Self-diagnosis is absolutely a valid form of diagnosis. And go listen to that other episode to figure out why. Then with the ADHD, I was suspecting is what I called it, because I wasn't confident enough to self-diagnose based on the research I had done. I was really not sure if I fit criteria or not. Some days it seemed like I really did, and then other days it seemed like it was mostly trauma responses that looked like ADHD. So I really wasn't sure, and I knew that at least for me, I either needed to do more research or I needed a professional opinion disorder. This out. So I was not self-diagnosed with ADHD, but I did wonder if that was a label that fit me. So about a year ago, when I officially self-diagnosed myself as autistic, I started looking into professional assessments for a couple of reasons, but mostly because I'd had my suspicions about different diagnoses in the past, and I had been very, very wrong. And so I knew if I could find a knowledgeable assessor, I wanted their input. So that search started about a year ago. I couldn't find anyone who would do the assessment for less than $3,000 or was closer than like 8 hours away. There were a couple of people who were closer and less expensive, but they had like puzzle pieces on their websites, and they promoted ABA therapy, and they just gave me a very old school, not very empathetic view of neurodivergence. So I avoided those places and I was like, all right, fine, I'll just be self-diagnosed. Then I found this amazing directory from Neuroclastic, which I will also go ahead and link in the show notes. And that is when my professional diagnosis journey officially began. So just to lay it out for you here at the beginning, there are 7 steps that I went through to get professionally diagnosed. First was looking for assessors using the Neuroclastic directory. Second was getting on a wait list. Third was scheduling my first appointment. Fourth was that first appointment, which was a diagnostic interview. Fifth was scheduling our second appointment. Sixth was the second appointment, which was a results appointment. And 7, which is receiving my official paperwork, which I have not actually received yet. And I will probably do another episode when I do receive it, just to go over what they said, because I want y'all to know. Okay, let's start with step 1 and break it down. Step 1 is looking for assessors. So I looked for my assessors on the Neuroclastic directory of diagnosticians, I think is how you say that word. They have assessors in tons of different countries, different states, different cities, and a lot of them come with recommendations from people, which is really awesome. So I found my assessor on there and I reached out to her via email. And I consider this part of the looking for an assessor step because I wanted to be sure that this person could help me, because I knew that autism was a very core part of my identity at this point. And if I went to this assessment and they said, no, you're not autistic, I was going to expect a damn good explanation for why I meet so many of the criteria and why I felt so tied to this identity. I wanted to know what else was going on then. And so I reached out to her and I basically said that. And she was like, look, by the time most people find me, they're pretty sure they know what's going on. I don't think you should expect any surprises, but if there is a surprise, if things don't come back the way you expect them to, I will 100% work with you to figure out what is going on. And with that reassurance, I moved on to step two, which was getting on the waitlist. Very simple, for me at least. It was just a process of emailing her and saying I would like on the waitlist. And she said, sure, you are on the waitlist. Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I just wanted to interrupt this episode really quick to tell you all about the Neurodivergent Magic Program. This is a program designed to help you cope with executive dysfunction, which is something that almost every neurodivergent person experiences. If you don't know, executive dysfunction is a lot of things, but basically it boils down to you want to do the thing, you are trying to do the thing, and you just can't, and you feel awful. What this program, the Neurodivergent Magic Program, does is it helps you cope with executive dysfunction through a combination of practical and emotional tools. We'll cover body doubling and building momentum, but we'll also talk about the shame that is often deeply rooted in a lot of neurodivergent people because we grew up in a neurotypical society that wasn't accepting of us. And if you're thinking, what in the world does shame have to do with executive dysfunction? Kind of everything. And I would love to teach you about it. So this is a program where the whole goal is to teach you to get shit done in 24 hours or less. So if you are really struggling with your ability to accomplish tasks and to feel good about it, that is what this program is designed to help you with. And I can't wait to see you there. Check out the show notes for the link to join or send me an email at megan@neurodivergentmagic.com. Now, fortunately, the place that I went with and the assessor I went with didn't have a very long wait list. It was, oh, I think she said 7 to 12 weeks. So at the 12-week mark, I reached out again and I said, hey, just checking in. This is about the time you said we would start scheduling. And she was like, I'm so glad you reached out. Absolutely. Let's get you scheduled. So that was step three. I had to reach out. And who knows, they may have contacted me the next day if I hadn't reached out. But, you know, I am very punctual. Well, I'm not very punctual, but when I get obsessed about things, I don't forget dates. anyway, so moving on to step four, which is the diagnostic interview. And this is the part everyone wants me to tell them about. They're like, what was the interview like? Like, what did you do? What did it include? What did she ask? And honestly, it was just a great conversation where I got to talk about my special interest, which is my brain, autism, and ADHD, neurodivergence in general, and how it intersects with my identity. And it was amazing. Like, most of the questions she asked were very easy to answer. I was like, yeah, this, this, and this. But there, every now and again, she would ask something and I would be like, I don't know how to answer that. And she's like, that's okay. Sometimes we're paying attention to how you answer rather than what you say. You know, and I'm like, oh, well, that's a lot of pressure. Like, how have I been answering the questions? So it was definitely a little weird. I was definitely very nervous. But it was also really cool just to get a chance to talk about how my brain worked and have someone listen and believe me. It was really kind of special, to be honest with you. And I'm really glad I went through the process and that my assessor was so... She disclosed to me that she was neurodivergent herself, which was an amazing disclosure. Made me feel very at home. There were fidgets there for me to play with. She warned me that the lighting sometimes flickered, which is a very like thoughtful warning. Personally, lights don't bother me much as an autistic person, but for a lot of people, it really does. Just overall, it was a very affirming experience. Okay, then at the end of that diagnostic interview, we moved on to step five, which was scheduling the second appointment. For me, they asked, do you want to do it in person or virtually? And since this place was still about an hour away for me, I was like, virtual is great if the price is the same. And they were like, absolutely. So we did virtual. Then moving on to step number six, the results appointment. So like I said, for me, it was virtual. I just hopped onto a telehealth site and basically, she showed me the results of all the tests I took. Oh, shoot, I forgot that step. So after the diagnostic interview, the assessor sent me a bunch of standardized type tests to take, and I don't remember what they were, so please don't ask me because I don't remember. But they had to do with executive dysfunction, my sensory profile, and my socialization profile, I believe. And then she sent me a bunch of screeners for other conditions that can look like can look like autism or ADHD, but are actually different types of neurodivergence, like OCD or depression or PTSD. So I took all those screeners and she went over not so much the screeners because most of those came back very low. Even the depression one, which was amazing. I have never gotten a low score on a depression screening and my brain is just in such a better place than it used to be. So that's fantastic. So in the results appointment, we went over those tests that she gave me and she shared her screen with me and showed me the results and explained what they meant. And that was a really meaningful experience for me. It was really amazing to see that this isn't in my head. This can be quantified. And she even showed me the validity measures of the tests so that it was like, look, here's how we measure if you're faking or not. And you clearly aren't. And that, wow. Wow. I almost cried. That meant so much to me. So that's basically the process that I went through. There's still one more step, which is receiving the official paperwork, which I have not received. I'm very anxious to read their notes and what they thought of me. I can't help it. I'm a little bit of a people pleaser. I want them to have liked me and to have thought I was interesting. I can't help it. So I'm very intrigued, to say the least, to see what they have to say. So yeah, that was the diagnostic process for me. And oh, for people asking, some people have been asking, did you go in hoping to be assessed for autism and ADHD? Did it cost extra, XYZ? No, I went in for an autism assessment. And she was like, look, we're going to screen you for a couple of things because you clearly, because I get very obsessed with diagnoses and I told them like, hey, I wonder if I meet the criteria for OCD or BPD or ADHD. Like, I don't know. And she's like, yeah, I'll pay attention and we'll look for all the things. So that was really affirming. And it was one assessment process and I got diagnosed with both. I did not have to go through a separate assessment process for both diagnoses. It was very funny. She told me that I very clearly had an ADHD vibe. She's like, that's not a clinical observation, obviously, but it was very funny for both of us. We enjoyed it. So I'm trying to think if there's any other common questions that people have been asking me about the diagnostic process that I haven't answered yet. Nope, I think that's it. So I hope that this episode was helpful. If you are looking to get a professional diagnosis, I just want to remind you that professionals don't know absolutely everything and that self-diagnosis is still 100% valid. Even though I have a professional diagnosis, I still very much support self-diagnosis. That being said, if you want a professional diagnosis, I hope that this episode helped you feel better prepared for what to expect. All right, that's all I've got. So I will talk to you next Saturday. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.